Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started with Mesa. There's nothing better than love.
There's nothing better than love.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love and no one can take her love away.
Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love and no one can take his love away.
I wanna be loved. There's nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of? It's better by far. So let yourself reach for that star and go no matter how far to the one you love, to love.
And I mean all these words I say, and you don't have to guess what's going on inside my head.
Try to know all the things that our hearts say. Listen to love and always get love to lead the way. I wanna be loved. There's nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of? It's better by far. Self reach for the star and go no matter how far to the one you love.
No.
Journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram. That was Mesa. Nothing is better than love. Nothing. I'm in the hospital, so I won't be doing a lot of talking. I am in North Carolina because guess what? My grandbaby has made it to the planet, but she came early. And so we're going to just start off with Ayanna Vincent, and then we're going to hear something that I have been wanting to play for you all. This is Ayanna's prayer.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Amen. And so it is. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Good morning, family. You're tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I tell you, I don't want to be talking too much because I'm in the hospital, and I won't be saying a lot this morning because I don't want to, be loud in the hospital. So I'm just going to play Steve Harvey, Taking the Limits Off God. How many of us put limits on God? How many of us even ask God for big things? Some of us are just asking God for just enough. But today, I want to remind you to take the limits off God. This is the love journey, the love experience with Janine and Ingram. Take the limits off God with the Steve Harvey.
If you could get a couple of things from me, if you could gather this piece of information, Albert Einstein said once, he said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Now, I want you to get this now. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Because if you think about it, everything you have, everything we have in this world, somebody imagined it. It's your imagination is tremendous. Somebody was sitting on the phone one day talking with a cord to the wall and said, man, I wish I could just go outside with this phone. Everybody in here got a cell phone. Somebody imagined that. Somebody got tired of riding in a wagon cross country from slavery to freedom. Somebody said, I wish we had something that made these wheels move by themselves. We drive cars. People got tired of driving from New York to LA. Somebody said, I wish we could fly. We got airplanes. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Your real life, the one God really got for you, is in your imagination. It is not in your current situation or your current paycheck. And if you've been living like that, you have then restricted yourself to a commonality that is really not yours. Because what really God got for you is really in your imagination. There is a scripture that Albert Einstein took this quote from. It's like the book The Secret. The Secret is one of the top-selling motivational books ever. But if you read the book The Secret, it's all biblical. Everything comes from the Bible. You really don't need self-help books. You don't need The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich, The Winner's Circle. I've read them all. All of that information is in Proverbs, all of it. But let me give you this scripture. You've all heard this, right? Faith. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I told you a minute ago, you got to have a tremendous work ethic, but you got to have a lot of faith. I talked to so many people who get older, like some of us are, and they've lost the faith. Well, faith is really simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All that means is in the beginning, you just hope something pop off. You know, you just kind of hope something happened for you. I was hoping I would get on TV. I wrote it on a piece of paper when I was 10. I want to be on TV. The problem I had when I wrote it at 10 was I suffered from a severe stuttering problem. I could not talk outside of my house. So can you imagine when I wrote on a piece of paper, I want to be on TV and turn that in? But when I wrote it on the paper, it wasn't factual. I was just hoping. You just got to start with the hope. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You just hope something jumps. Then what happened is through grace and favor, he give you a couple of them things you hope for, and then you're supposed to start believing then. Because now it turns into faith. But if you take this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? I just told it to you. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attraction. But guess what? Your imagination really is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Because your imagination, you know why it's the evidence of things not seen? Because you're the only one who can see it. Your imagination is actually God showing you a preview of a coming attraction that he has for you. The moment you don't believe in your imagination, you negate what he got for you. Your imagination is the preview to life's coming attraction. It is the evidence of things not seen. Because can't nobody see it with you. Your problem is you keep telling your imagination to the wrong people. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. It's dead. How many times, man, have you had a tremendous idea? Something you thought was the one, and you went and told it to your loved ones and your so-called friends, and they shot it down. I mean, you was convinced that it was just, oh, man, I just came to you. And you told it to them, and they shot it down. And you thought since they was your loved ones and their friends and they got your best interest at heart, you believed them. You was wrong. They taught you, let them talk you out of what God got for you. Some of y'all still sitting here with the ambition of opening a business one day, but you scared to go start the business because you got a job and you got bills. Rich people got bills. Everybody got bills. Hell, I got bills. Everybody owes somebody something. I got something with the bank right now. You're going to let the fact that you got some bills stop you from opening the business, the thing that God done put in your imagination? So you're going to squash that because you got bills. Everybody got bills. Your real life is in your imagination. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that everybody can apply today. If you are sitting in here thinking that you're too old to listen to what Steve, hell, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I know. I know. You can't believe it. I know. He's so fly. I know. But I'm 60. But I still rely on my imagination. See, if you think you're too old to make it, let me give you a prime example. Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has been frying chicken his whole life. He was telling everybody he had the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believe him. They turned him down everywhere. Colonel Sanders didn't get a franchise till he was in his 60s. Kentucky Fried Chicken sell more chicken than anybody in the world today. So if you're sitting there thinking because you got a little gray on you, you're too late. As long as God waking you up in the morning, that's the sign that he ain't through with you. So what you tripping for? You sitting up in here like God can't do nothing for you because you 60. Man, you know what I'm asking God for right now? And I'm 60. If you could see my vision board, you would be blown away. Because I got enough right now. I really know. But I ain't in the need business. I'm in the want business. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting something. Quit going down to these churches y'all sitting up in here going down to, keeping you in these little boxes. God got a big life for you. The only person ain't get, and look, and I love church. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking church. Don't tweet that. Steve don't care for the church no more. I didn't say that. But don't go down there, memorize all these scriptures, and then don't apply none of them to your life. That's what I'm talking about. Quit going down there just to go and just get a couple of scriptures and apply them to you. Let me give you one that's real simple. See, these principles of success, they've taken all of these scriptures and they're putting them in books and they call them, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. But all these, everything in there is a scripture. They just reworded it because people don't know how to read the Bible. Like, I can't really read the King James Version. I can't. 4 verses of that, I go to sleep. Because hence, furthermore, whatsoever, whosoever, who is you talking about? I need a name, dog. Not whomsoever, because I'm throwed off. I didn't do good with reading and comprehension in school. The smallest scripture I ever read changed my life. The scripture is real simple. You have not because you ask not. Do you know the difference that could make in your life? I'm just giving you real talk now. I'm just trying to tell you how I got here. See, I have no education. I applaud all of you with your education. I've seen them talking to so many men who have in corporate America and all. I'm in awe of that because I don't have that. But you sit here and you take what you have, and it could be so much more if you would ask. See, you have not because you ask not. When the last time you really asked him for something? Or do you keep making requests that's inside the confines of your paycheck? When you going to get outside of that? Didn't I just tell you God ain't in your paycheck? Didn't I just tell you he ain't in your job title? The life God got for you is in your imagination. Why you still imagining stuff? Why you keep dreaming of a summer home? Why you keep dreaming of retirement, leaving your grandkids money? Something at the age now where I think about my grandkids. I got 7 TV shows. Dog, I only need one. One show pay me enough money. I need 4 for my wife. 4 of them is for Marjorie. The other 3 is for the grandkids. I just need one. I do not live my life in the confines of what anybody says to me. I let my imagination go, and now imagination is a preview to life's coming attraction. But what that really means is God showing you a preview of what he has for you. So now, if you have not because you ask not, do you understand if you up your ask, he has to up his give? This period. This is simple stuff that anybody can apply. You ain't even got to have no degree to do this. You don't even have to have no money to do this. You can start this today and change your whole game because you're going to need grace and favor anyway. You need the dream, the faith, and then he put his grace and favor on top of it. You gone. But you got to ask for something. If you up your ass, he got to up his gill. Period. You have not because you ask not. Quit asking God for little bitty stuff. Lord Jesus, help me make my rent. Don't he always? All y'all got somewhere to stay. How about this? Why you keep asking for rent? Why don't you ask for a mortgage? If he going to give you the money for a place to stay, what difference do it make to God? But if you keep saying rent, ain't he fair? He keep giving you rent. If you ask for a mortgage, he'll give you a mortgage, but you have not because you ask not. Lord Jesus, help me fix my car so I can make it to work. Why do you keep praying over that raggedy car? Why don't you ask God for a car that don't need fixing? You know, they roll them off the assembly line every day. How you can't get a new car? How you serve God? How you go to church and you can't get a car? Just a new car. How you can't get that from God? You know why? Because you ain't asking. You keep asking him for stuff that fit in your paycheck. Your paycheck say a 2015 Lexus. So you go down there and ask him for that. And guess what you get? A 2015 Lexus. You up your ask, he up his give. You have not because you ask not. This ain't a magic trick, man. Listen. I have asked God for some tremendous stuff. Everything he hasn't given to me is on the way. I have no doubt about it. Why would he not? See, can I tell you what really prompted this thinking in me? When I was homeless, I lived in a car for 3 years. I made some decisions in my life, man, and threw myself off a cliff. My decision in October 8th, 1985, I walked into a comedy club for the first time on a dare from a girl. Jesus. I walked into a comedy club for the first time. Had never heard of a comedy club. But all my life, I wanted to be on TV. Had never heard of a comedy club. October the 8th, I walked into Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. That's right outside Akron. I signed up for the following week because I just wanted to see what the comedians did. Man, I was saw live stand-up for the first time. They had 10 acts supposed to go up. 9 of them went up. The 10th guy got scared and ran out the door. So I had signed up for the following week. The guy says, listen, we lost our 10th act. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the week from next week. If Steve Harvey's here, come on up now. And the crowd started clapping. I was eating a chicken wing and drinking some grapefruit juice, and I turned to the girl, and I said, it's a dude in here, got the same name I got. She said, you're the stupidest bastard I know. So I ran up on stage. I don't even know what to do, but I just started talking about boxing and stuff that happened to me. Audience was hollering, laughing. They brought all 10 of us back up on stage. They had a clap-off. I won the clap-off. I won $50. I cried from Cuyahoga Falls to Cleveland. The girl kept saying, why are you crying? It ain't but $50. I said, no, you don't understand. This way more than $50. This what I do. She said, what you mean this what you do? This just your first time. You don't understand. Something happened to me. I won amateur night. I went to work the next day, October 9th, 1985, and quit my job. You've all seen this book I got out in this video called Jump. Oh, I jumped. Now, I don't recommend that you do it that way, because 2 years later, I was homeless. Because the first year of comedy, I made $3,400. The next year, I made $4,800. And the third year, I made $5,300. I got a wife, a set of twins. I'm sending every dollar I got to them. So I tried to live on $50-$75 a week. Gas was 38 cents a gallon back then. I just stayed in my car. So I lived in my car for 3 years. 3 years, I lived in my car. And what happened was, I just said, man, so I used to fish all the time to eat, because I'm a fisherman, I'm a bass fisherman. So I used to stop at lakes and ponds and just fish. And every month I get run off from somebody's land. Hey, get away from here. Hey, move along, that's not yours. Hey, stop fishing here. I just get run off. And he didn't understand. And one time I had fish on the line. They said, you got fish on that line? I said, yeah, throw them back. I had to throw them back, because I used to stop at rest areas with them little cast iron grills. I kept charcoal in my car. I started a fire and I ate fish. There's some days I wouldn't eat. So that they thought I was just fishing, but I was eating. So I said one day, I said, man, you know what? One day, man, I'm gonna give myself some land. I'm buy myself a piece of dirt. So fast forward, God bless me. I get on TV when I'm 38. I'm on Showtime at the Apollo. Lord, have mercy. They gave me my money. I saved my money up. I saved $250,000. I said, I'm going to give me some land. I went to Texas, and I'm about to buy some land. But before I went to buy the land, I was curious. I just had the thought. I said, man, I wonder how much land is on earth? How many acres is on earth? Because, you know, it's not going to change. You know, God lets you fly. God lets you dive underwater. God don't let you make dirt. Can't make dirt. So I looked it up. It's roughly over, just a little bit over, 36 billion acres of land. 36 billion acres of land. So I just got a little bit more curious. And I said, well, how many people on earth? I looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people on earth. So I did some Steve Harvey thinking. I said, okay, if it's 36 billion acres of land and it's about 6 billion people on earth, everybody ought to have 6 acres of land. Not just me, you know, just thinking. So I asked God, could I have 6 acres? That's all I wanted. Because you know the one thing I wanted? I didn't care if I put a house on it or nothing. I just wanted to be a stand somewhere and couldn't nobody run me off. I just want it. You know, man, I was in a world of hurt. I was so sick of just getting run off, man, every time I stopped somewhere. So I got this money, man. I saved my money. I saved $250,000. I'm going and I'm looking for some land. The first day I get there, I see a piece of land in Texas, so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. It had rolling hills, had a pond on it where I could fish. The dude took me over there. I look at the land, and I'm looking. I said, man, this is great right here. I said, sir, how much is this right here? He said, well, it's about $600,000. I said, man, I ain't got that kind of money. He said, well, how much do you have? I said, I got $250,000. I said, well, let me think about it, man. He said, let me think about it. And I was standing there, and then I stopped. I said, sir, can I ask you a question, man? How many acres of land is that? He said, this is 6 acres. Six. 6 years ago, I just asked God, just give me six. See, I didn't want a whole lot of acres. I just wanted my cut. Just give me my six. And so I said, ain't this crazy? So I thought about it. I said, man, what can we work out? Right before I got ready to say it, the guy that took me over there said, Steve, let me show you something right quick. He took me over to this hillbilly's house. Took me over to this hillbilly house named Jerry Campbell. Now, I don't really care for hillbillies because, you know, I believe in I don't that. When I hear that, me and you probably ain't going to work out. I'm from Cleveland. I do things. I don't want no trouble. I met this hillbilly. I was a little nervous about meeting him, man, because I didn't like the way he talked. But mess around turned out to be one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Became a father figure to me. It's an old white man. He took me to his house. He said, let me show you something. He took me over and showed me this land, and it was massive. It had 3 lakes on it. It had rolling hills. It had trees. It was unbelievable, man. I said, man, this is incredible. I said, man, how much is this? He said, this 16 acres. I said, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Let me go on back over here to this dude where Mike can cut a deal. He said, well, let me ask you something. What was you going to give that man over there? I said, well, I hadn't worked it out yet because all I got is $250,000. He said, well, listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight right now. Said, if you can bring me $250,000 cash by tomorrow, I give you this 16 acres. I showed up next day, $250,000, 16 acres. See, that's grace and favor right there. That's what that is. So my first piece of land was 250 acres. So I said, man, this is the land that I'm going to save for my family. I'm going to fish on the rest of my life. I'm going to be an old man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so busy now, I don't even get to go to that ranch. I never can go. And I thought I was going to be fishing and save it for my kids the rest of life. But God had another plan for me. That's the ranch that I have my mentoring camp on. I bring 1,000 black boys out there with 1,000 single mothers. And that was the purpose of that ranch. I never go there to fish at all. But see, that's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was for. But God got another plan. His way is way bigger than yours. You can't even see his way. But you got to start to hustle. You got to give God something to work with. Look, if you start hustling and grinding, he'll fill it up for you. But if you ain't got no hustle and no grind, he can't fill it up. So guess what? I don't ever go there to use that land for fishing or not. But I'm changing boys' lives over there. It's been important for me to empower my children, but not only my children, but thousands of young people across the country. And education is the key for a lot of people. But when I speak at colleges and stuff, I tell people, number one thing in your world is not your education. It's your dream. So what you dreaming about, y'all? What you still dreaming about? What is God still showing you in your imagination? What are you so afraid of? Why would you not take that leap and go for it before you mess around and die? Why would you not go and see what God really got for you before you leave this world? Why would you hang on to a job? Here's what happens with the job. If you live in paycheck to paycheck right now, when you retire, they're going to give you 1/3 of what you can't live on now. They're going to give you a gold watch and a turkey, and they're going to set you on out to pasture. If I was you, before I leave this world, I'd go see what God really got for me. Just take a chance. Now, here's why you should take the chance. Name me one time God has not pulled you through. Just name it. Name the one thing God has never pulled you through. If he ain't pulled you through it, he's currently pulling you through it right now. And the reason I know I'm telling the truth is because you're sitting in here. If God was through with you, he wouldn't wake you up no more. When he wakes you up, it's because he ain't through with you yet. He got something else for you. So why don't you go see what that is?
Yonder she stretched thin.
Wow. I tell you, God is amazing. Life is amazing. You got to remember that. And you move through life, that you just got to be patient and know that God is all there is. I'm going to leave to you the wonderful thing to remember is don't be afraid to ask for what you want with reverent mind.
I have an old cliche that I say all the time, everywhere I go, and it's this: good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Let's hear it. Good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Let's hear it again. Good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Why do I say that? Because I want my mind to keep hearing that. And then it begins to demonstrate that back to you. You see, it's not only a matter of what the world says to you, it's a matter of what do I say to myself about myself. That's a good question to write down. Repeat it after me. What do I say to myself about myself? That's very important. You need to write that down, and you need to go over these questions in the privacy of your own home, of your own mind. You got to constantly be about the Father's business. All right. Now I want to say something about prosperity in terms of definition. Turn now quickly to page 37. Page 37? Well, looks like I'll have to read it for you again. Until you get out to the break. Let me hear you say prosperity. Doesn't it sound lovely? I mean, the very word, I love it. Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Now, on page 37, and before I read this, let me give you my definition of prosperity. And all of these definitions are inclusive. To me, prosperity is total well-being. Prosperity is total well-being. Say that.
Prosperity is total well-being.
Say it again.
Prosperity is total well-being.
In some of the TV and press interviews that I did over the past couple of days, boy, I didn't know that the press would catch up with me and the media would catch up with me like this. Did you see that front page, first page today? Interesting. Well, go ahead and clap then. Don't patty cake. Go ahead and do it. But the media kept asking me, was all of this greed? Well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it is positive greed. Some people ask the question from time to time, Reverend Ike, is it right for some people to have so much while others have so little?
Yeah.
I said, well, that's your choice. Don't criticize me for what I choose. I choose to be abundant. And, you know, they used to say to me, well, why do you have so many Rolls Royces? I said, well, they're making them. Somebody's got to have them. Maybe one of the reasons I have so many is because you didn't choose to have one. But even so, you know, whatever we choose, the universe will produce. So everybody is under the verdict of his own choice. And so I don't see it as greed. But I will put in this disclaimer, and I said this as they interviewed me out there, I think it was Channel 9. When it comes to material money and material things, we do not serve these things. These things serve me or us. And as long as you can keep that balance, it is just fine. You see, money is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. And you see, and I'm striking a chord with some of you that can't quite handle money yet. You said, uh-huh, that's what I always thought. Do you know why it is a lot of people have problems with money? A lot of people are afraid of money. Write that question on your notes for you to deal with. Am I afraid of money? I want you to examine yourself, y'all, because some of you are. But we're going to cast out that demon of fear of money before we leave here tonight. I tell about this almost every time I do a seminar. In Boston, many years ago, when I was a more flamboyant evangelist doing... doing the healing and blessing meetings, a 75-year-old lady, Pentecostal pastor evangelist, came to my meeting one Sunday night. This dear lady, minister, was really afraid to even pray for what she wanted. She was afraid it would come between her and God. But that one daring moment, I helped her to break loose. And she said, I really want my own house. She gave the money, went home, went to bed. Before she got out of bed the next morning, the head of the trustee board called her. They called her mother. And said to her, mother, there's a new housing development in the suburbs here. Beautiful houses. And I and the trustees had an informal meeting, and we were talking to the members, and we have decided that we're going to buy you a brand new house in that new development. And we want you to get up. We're going to come and get you and take you out there and let you pick the one that you want. Before sundown that very day, the next day after the night when she risked praying for what she wanted, after many years of suffering without it, before the sun went down, she had her own house. And invited me out there. I used to go out to see her when I was stationed in Boston back in the 60s. And I remember the first time I went out to visit and to have dinner with her in a new house. When we drove up, there was a brand new Buick Electra 225 sitting up in the driveway. And you know how I can be. I walked in and I started teasing. I walked over and I kissed her and I said, Mother, I said, are you enjoying this beautiful house? Is this beautiful house coming between you and God? She said, no, son. I can serve God a lot better in my own house. You know, people say to me, Reverend Ike, all the stuff that you've got, does it come between you and God? I said, no. Do you realize how well you can praise God sitting in the back of a Rolls Royce Phantom 5? I sit in the back of one of those Phantom 5s going down the road just praising God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Well, anyway, let's go back to the lady pastor's house. I said, Mother, I saw a brand new Buick 225 sitting in a driveway out there. I says, whose is that? She said, well, son, when you taught me how to ask for the house. And I saw how fast that worked and that didn't come between me and God. I said, well, God, while you're giving me the house, it's got a carport. Give me something to put under it. I have an old cliche that I say all the time, everywhere I go, and it's this. Good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Let's hear it. Good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Let's hear it again.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.